laws of divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program, Adherence to Sharia. Inshallah, let's begin with an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Sallu alayya فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَيَّ كَفَّارَةٌ لَكُمْ. Send salutations upon me, for indeed your recitation of salat, salutations upon me, will be an atonement for you, meaning atonement for your sins. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Alhamdulillah, the blessed month of Ramadan is here, this guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must honor it. Take full advantage of it. People are fasting, reciting Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us consistency and steadfastness in this regard, inshallah, and allows us to see many Ramadans in our lifetime. Views of Madin Channel, there is one sin that really lowers a person in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is showing arrogance. This is what we'll be touching upon today. But arrogance is such a vice that people do not like it. People hate an arrogant person. What is arrogance? What are examples of arrogance? Inshallah, this and much more will be mentioned in this episode of ours. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions how He created Sayyidina Adam ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a prophet of Allah, Abul Bashar, the first of the prophets on earth. And when He created him, He ordered the angels at the time and those who were present to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. This was due to the sharaf of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the honor of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, his fadila and excellence. Allah Ta'ala says, Ustudu li Adam, prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. Fasajadu illa Iblis. So they all prostrated except for Iblis, Shaytan. This is in Surah A'raf, verse 11. So the angels prostrated. Shaytan wasn't an angel, he's a jinn. But because he performed worship, a great amount of worship on this earth, all across the earth, thousands and thousands of years, he reached the station of Mu'allimul Malakut, being a teacher to the angels, alayhim salam. And the very next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although He knows everything, He asks, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What prevented you from prostrating when I ordered you to prostrate? Shaitan replied, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. That I am better than him. He felt he was superior to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So Shaitan is claiming to be better than Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Whereas Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Allah says regarding him, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I'm going to make a vicegerent on the earth. Khalifa. Referring to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. This is his rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Shaitan tries to back it up, his claim. Illogical reasons he gave. He says, Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min tin. You created me from fire and you created him from soil. And in his thought process, someone created from fire is greater than someone created from soil. But the reality is greatness doesn't lie in what you're created from. Greatness is bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that sharaf and honor and izzah to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. He's the greatest at that time. And he was prostrated towards sajdatul ta'zim, meaning prostration of reverence, not prostration of ibadah, of course. That's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this ummah, even the prostration of ta'zim, reverence and honor, is forbidden as well. Otherwise, Sahaba did ask the Prophet alayhi salam to permit them to prostrate towards him. He didn't allow it. He said it's forbidden in this ummah. So, Shaytan committed arrogance. He felt he was better than Adam alayhi salam. What happened thereafter? فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. The Quran tells us that Allah Ta'ala disliked this amal of Shaytan and him trying to justify why he didn't prostrate. Allah Ta'ala said to him, get out from paradise. Get out from the bounties. Why? Because you are outcast. You are rejected. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And indeed, my curse is upon you until the day of resurrection. So here we learn that Shaytan disobeyed the command of Allah. Shaytan disrespected Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and he was made outcast. He was rejected from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran tells us, كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Shaytan became from the disbelievers. Did he reject Allah as being his Lord? No. He did not reject that. He still believes in Allah today. But why did he be classed as a kafir? Why did he become classed as a kafir, a disbeliever? Because of his tawheen, insult towards Sayyidina Adam a.s. We learn from this that if you insult the prophets, the beloveds of Allah, you lose your iman. And you lose all rank, all status, just like Shaytan did. Now think about it. Shaytan was in proximity. Shaytan was in paradise. Shaytan was the teacher of the angels, alayhi wasalam. He's already there in Jannah. And he's kicked out. He's exiled. Imagine today someone disrespects any prophet. Disrespects the beloved prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Comes out with all sorts of nonsense. The prophet, alayhi wasalam, didn't know this. And the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, can't do this. And the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, is just a messenger. The prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, cannot do anything to help you today. And if he disrespects the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then that disrespect can lead to disbelief, of course. Can lead to a person losing their iman. They're not even in Jannah. They're outside of Jannah. And if they speak like this, how will they ever enter Jannah? Shaitan, who was in Jannah, was kicked out of Jannah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is something to ponder upon. Then, takabbur, arrogance, which is to consider others as inferior and yourself as superior and better. This is condemned in Islam. The Prophet alayhi salam taught us to be humble. We have to be humble slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arrogance is not something light in Islam. The more humble you are, the more acceptance you have in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And throughout the ages, we look at tyrants. We look at people who ruled for a certain amount of time. With an iron fist, they oppressed people. They did wrong to people. And they were arrogant. They didn't hide the arrogance. Look at Fir'aun, for example, Pharaoh. What would he say? He would say to the people, Ana rabbukum al-a'la. I'm your greatest Lord, your most superior Lord. Allahu Akbar Kabira. He would attribute Godship to himself. He would say this out of arrogance. He considered everyone else lowly. He would get them to say that he is their God. Astaghfirullah. How did he die though? Allah Ta'ala drowned him in the River Nile and his followers as well. Such a humiliating death. Then you have Nimrud and the tyrant in the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he again was very oppressive, was a tyrant. He oppressed Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam as well, did wrong to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, before we move on, there's four leaders, four kings who ruled the entire world, not just a certain part of the world, the entire world. And from them, one of them was Nimrud. Two of them were believers in Allah and obeyed Allah, Azza wa Jal, and two of them were from the disbelievers, and Nimrud was one of them. Now, when he had the kingship of the entire world, instead of being more obedient to the one who bestowed that kingship upon him, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had willed that for him, he became arrogant. Instead of obeying Allah, instead of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he showed arrogance, he was not humble at all. He was disrespectful to the prophets. And he eventually even claimed that he was God. Just like Fir'aun. Astaghfirullah. This is where takabbur leads these people. Power gets to their head. And when Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam called him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the tawheed of Allah, towards the Lord who makes the sun rise from the east and set in the west, what did he say? He said, I will even kill the people in the heavens as well. This is what Nimrud said. And what would he do in this regard? He would fire, or have bows fired towards the heavens. And this was the power of Allah, this was the way of Allah, that when those arrows would come back down to earth, they would be full of blood. And this made Nimrud fall into false sense of perception. He thought that he's actually killing people up there in the heavens. Now this individual was very arrogant, tyrant, oppressive. What happened to him in the end? How did he die? A mosquito enters his nose and it reaches the brain. And he's in agony, he's in pain, and he could not bear the pain that he was going through and eventually died. So his arrogance got him nowhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah does not love the arrogant ones. Now, in the Quran, when you study the Quran, and especially the nations of the prophets, how they were arrogant, they rejected the prophet of the time, and they would mock the prophet, they would insult the prophet, even in our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time as well, the people who rejected him, they would say all sorts, and their statements are mentioned in Al-Quran al-Kareem. And when you read those statements, you cannot help but think that these people were arrogant. What they would say, a normal person wouldn't say that. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was amongst them, they would say, أَهَذَا الَّذِي بَعَثَ اللَّهُ رَسُولًا. Is this the person who Allah sent as a messenger? Mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They couldn't take the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was not from their family or their tribe or whatnot. Or that the Prophet ﷺ was the leader of the tribe. They wanted someone like that to be a prophet. Allah chooses whomsoever He wills. Allah chooses from His messengers whomsoever He wants. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. In another verse of the Quran we're told, Allah knows full well where He placed His messengership, who He made a messenger. Allah Ta'ala knows. He is all wise. He is Hakim. So, these people would show arrogance, they would reject the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would criticize him, they would persecute him, they would harm him. This was all because of arrogance. They felt they were better, but they weren't better. And look at their endings, look at their outcomes. We should remain humble, we must remain humble, there's no option. Look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anyone could have expressed his greatness and reminded people of his greatness again and again and again, it was the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because he is Habibullah. He is the chosen one. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Al-Mustafa alayhi salatu wassalam. But even when he would mention his status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would say, I don't take pride in this. I don't boast of this. So in a hadith, he said, Ana Sayyidu Wuldi Adama Wala Fakhra. I'm the master of the offspring of Adam alayhi salam. But there's no boast. There's no showing off here. In another narration, أَنَا سَيِّدُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ وَلَا فَخْرَ. I'm the master of the first, the previous ones, the latter ones. But I do not boast. So on that one hand, we know that the Prophet ﷺ is the king of creation, the best of all creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But on the other hand, what was his andaz with his sahaba? He wouldn't ask his sahaba to put a special chair for him or a seat for him. And when people entered the gathering, he wouldn't be at an elevated place. At least this did not happen initially. Look at people today. When they go to a gathering, they want to be seated in the most prominent position. They want the most protocol. They want people to stand up for them. They want people to show a lot of adab towards them, respect and reverence towards them. Look at the Prophet ﷺ. He was very humble. Humble Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes people would visit him in the early days when he announced his prophethood and people began to accept Islam. They could not tell who in the gathering the Prophet ﷺ was. That's how much he would mix in with his sahaba. Today, it's not like that. People need to rectify themselves. People need to realize that takabbur, arrogance, is not something that will make them successful. Momentarily, they will probably gain a bit of respect from people. But people will despise them, people will hate them and speak about them. This person is stuck up, this person is arrogant. Look how he talks, look how he portrays himself. Takabbur is something that will destroy a person. There's so many signs, inshallah we'll move to the signs. Firstly, we've heard what Shaitan said, أَنَا خَيْرُ مِنْ. So considering yourself better than others, you just feel that about yourself, I'm better than him, or I'm better than him. Nobody should praise them over me. Nobody should mention their virtues in front of me, I'm better. Lord. But if these kind of feelings are present in our heart, then we must rectify it. We should be humble. We should be humble believers in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we deal with people, we should show humbleness as well. Not to show off, but I'm very humble. Because here, even here, someone could be doing it to try and make others speak good of him. That shouldn't be the intention. We do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, when people meet you, you meet them with a smile, you meet them lovingly, warmly, even if you've got a great ranking society than them, you don't make them feel that. You give them equal treatment. You serve them. This is how you do away with arrogance. You don't make them feel like there's a hierarchy. One example, Muhaddis-e-Azam Pakistan, Maulana Sardar Ahmad Qadri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. He was a student of the son of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman. Once somebody came to him to ask a question, people would come to him. And when that person entered, he sat on the floor. Muhaddis-e-Azam Pakistan, the greatest scholar of his time, gets up and he makes that person sit, tells him to sit with him on the bedstead. That person said, "No, Zul, how can I do this?" And then Muhaddis-e-Azam Pakistan said, "How can I make you sit on the floor whilst I'm sitting up here and you want to ask a question? No, you have to sit with me." This was just one example of how our elders, our Salaf, they would adopt humility and humbleness. They didn't want to give the sense of, "I'm better than you, I'm more knowledgeable, I'm greater, you should treat me in a specific way, you should respect me." No. Also, another sign of arrogance is a person doesn't want to be associated with those who are poor, for example. Those who are not very well respected in society. Those who are looked down upon. For example, if you're invited for a meal by a poor person, if you try and look for a way out of that da'wah, that invitation, thinking, "Oh, what is he going to give to me? I like to eat so-and-so foods, and I like to have this to drink and that to eat. And this person can't offer that. This person can barely make ends meet. I don't want to be associated with him. Plus, if people find out, it doesn't look good for me because he's quite poor and I'm this and I'm that." Allahu Akbar. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would even go, willingly go, happily go and attend the invitation of the poor people. When a poor person would invite him, Rasulullah alayhi salam would go. The Prophet alayhi salam knew full well that that person won't be able to offer much. But what was his intention? Accepting the da'wat and pleasing the heart of that Muslim. Today, what do we do? "Oh, brother, jazakallah for the invite, but I can't come. There's something's come up." You might even lie. But the real reason is, "Oh, I don't want to be seen with that person. That'll cramp my style. That'll make me look weird and make me look odd. People are going to speak about me mixing with so-and-so people, inferior people, ma'adallah." So today, when you accept the da'wat of the wealthy, you should also accept the da'wat of those who are not well off. You should treat people equally. And you should go out of your way to please the fuqara, the ghuraba, the poor people. Rasulullah ﷺ loved the poor people. He will make dua to Allah, "Oh Allah, keep me alive as a miskeen. May I pass away as a miskeen as well." The Prophet ﷺ mentioned how the poor people will be given entry to Jannah before the wealthy people, by 500 years in accordance to one narration. So this is also a way of testing whether a person is arrogant or not. Will I accept the da'wat of someone less well off, less known, who doesn't really benefit me in any way or my status in any way? And we need to follow the prophetic way. We need to cut out arrogance. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi discusses arrogance at length in Ihya Ulumuddin, his masterpiece work, and he speaks about how beauty can lead to arrogance, how wealth can lead to arrogance, how status can lead to arrogance, how achievements can lead to arrogance. He writes about 8 things in his Ihya Ulumuddin, how mansab, the likes, can lead to arrogance. But these are not traits that a believer should have. A believer shouldn't be arrogant. A believer should be gentle. A believer should be humble. And when you lower yourself for Allah, what's the result? مَن تَوَابَ عَلِلَّهِ فَقَدْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. When you lower yourself for Allah, you humble yourself for Allah, He raises you, He elevates you. Can anyone elevate you like that? No. No one in creation can benefit you in the way that Allah Ta'ala would. Allah Ta'ala is the Khaliq, He is the Creator, He is the one who grants honor, He is the one who bestows blessings. He is the one who gives status and takes it away. He is the one who gives wealth and takes it away. He's independent from all the worlds. The more humble we are in His noble court, the more we show ubudiyah, servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we fear Allah Jalla wa Ala and obey Him, the more we'll be blessed. Otherwise, fearing people, obeying people, appeasing people, just so that we can gain some worldly wealth and status, flattering people for this purpose, that's not the way of a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our inner and outer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us humbleness, save us from arrogance at all moments, enable us to follow our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his mannerisms, in his etiquettes, in the way he showed humbleness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us kamil believers. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
In Allah's divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.